Please open your Bibles with me, if you will, to the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, as we will read from Genesis chapter 26, the verses 17 through 33. Genesis 26, 17 through 33. Hear then God's holy and inspired word. Then Isaac departed from there, and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Pichol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" But they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you." So we said, "Let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is called Beersheba to this day. So far then, the reading of God's holy word. Our text is to be found in the verses 32 and 33. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. So far then, the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, vacation time has come and gone. No doubt, it has been an exciting and a good time for most of you. And perhaps some of you went on a trip, and the Lord God has kept you safe on the roads as well, or on the water. And perhaps some of the young people went to young people's camp as well, and good speakers and good fellowship with other young people. And so we see that the Lord has blessed us this summer in many ways. Personally, I've been able to spend a little bit more time with our children and our grandchildren as well. and having had some time off in terms of preaching, had the opportunity, the blessed opportunity, to listen to some of the other preachers in our federation as well. And so, personally, I'm also thankful for this past summer. But now, a new season is upon us, a season in which we are called to get back to work and get back to studies. It has already started with the boys and girls going back to school. And so we need to keep that in mind, particularly at this point. Now, one of the things that I want to make clear to you this morning hour is that when we begin a new season, there are certain responsibilities that are placed upon us. And that is what I want to speak about. But of course, I also want to bring out particularly what the Word of God and our text has to say. And so, in terms of theme, beginning a new season, and then I have these two words, dig in, dig in. Now, I got that idea of digging from the passage that we have read this morning, that is of the servants of Isaac having to dig in the desert sands in order to find water. And so that is what we will hear about a little bit later on. But I'm using these two words, dig in, as an acrostic. You may know what that means, because it will help you to remember the message. D stands for dangers facing us. I stands for instructions to follow. G stands for goals to achieve. And then IN stands for being in the Word. So then, as we begin this new season, let me first say something about the dangers facing us. And yes, we do face dangers, especially in this day and age. And I want to give you a few examples. In the first place, the Middle East is still a powder keg that could blow up in our face at any time. Iraq and Syria and Libya, they are not out of the woods yet, even though ISIS, by and large, has been defeated. Muslim countries, they are not really united, though we think they are. The Sunnis, they don't really like the Shiites, and the Salafites of Saudi Arabia are on a different mindset altogether again, in opposition to the others. And the Christians, sad to say, many Christians bear the brunt of the attacks from all of them in terms of persecution. Kurds and the Turks, they still are at odds with each other as well. North Korea is playing a very dangerous game, to say the least. And things are not well between Iran and the U.S., or China and the U.S., and for that matter, China and Canada. Some have said that the making of all of this is really the making of another world war. And it certainly does spell global instability. The second danger that you and I face is that of death, of unexpected death. Apart from the damage and the devastation that we have heard about and read about through Hurricane Dorian, in the Bahamas particularly, and also in the southern parts of the United States, makes us to stop and think, yes, it could also happen to us, or at least the threat of death could happen to us. A few weeks ago, I received the news from the Monarch congregation that one family was on vacation in a RV and was in an accident. A little girl, 4 years old, was killed. A few days after that, in the violent Jordan area, a little boy, I believe, also 4 years old, drowned in a hot tub. Death can happen so quickly, dear people. And the question for us is, are we ready for this? Because it is so unexpected. Are we ready? Are we prepared to die? A third danger that we are facing, and particularly the young people, but not exclusively the young people, is that of society's morale has gone down the tube. Morality is really off the map in terms of what we have in our society today. The gender business that we hear and read about is right off the wall. And teachers, particularly in secular schools, do have to teach that, though it has been limited somewhat. But nevertheless, all of it means that our children, or the children who go to secular schools, are fed by something that is nothing else but very confusing. And then the government of all things has limited or restricted any biblical thinking parents or teachers from, and preventing them for what is called the conversion therapy. It's a great danger that faces the youth of today. But also, and I want to a little bit closer to home, many of our youth, in fact I would say most if not all of our youth, have what is called a smartphone. And yes, it's a very handy thing, but at the same time it is a very dangerous thing. And no doubt you have heard warnings from your parents or from your teachers about it as well. Teenagers who want to be intimate with each other have been told now that there is a different way of doing it, and that is taking selfies, intimate selfies. And it is called sexting. And so if your hormones are out to lunch, so to speak, and if they really want to get you to do something, then engage in sexting. Let your hormones do the sexting with your iPhone or your smartphone. It's the world's promotion of what is so-called safe sex. But I believe, and I think all of you will agree with me, it's another blow to morality, isn't it? A fourth danger that we face, and no doubt it has perhaps already risen in the midst of the congregation as well, is boredom. Boredom. You may have begun to think to yourself already, church attendance, catechism classes, young people's meetings, Bible studies. It's all so boring. I've heard it all. I've heard it so many times, and there's really nothing new to learn anymore. Occasionally you get a different preacher on the pulpit, but even that may have become boring to you because, well, they all say the same thing. I'm bored by it all. Boredom. It's a danger that we're facing as well. Because it could sneak up on you so unexpectedly, so unnoticed, bored with the preaching, bored with traditional church services, bored with the Bible, even bored with God. It's a danger. So these are four examples then of the danger that we are facing. Global instability, unexpected death, slipping morality, and boredom. Well, let me get to the next point. What are the instructions to follow in view of those particular four dangers that you've heard something about already? Well, we need to know that this global instability and this threat of a possible Third World War is still in the hands of God, dear people. The Bible instructs us, therefore, to trust in God at all times. In fact, when God looks down upon it, and we've sung a little bit about that as well from Psalter number 4, because it recites some words from Psalm number 2. And there it speaks about the nations raging and the kings and the rulers gathering together and plotting various evil things to do. What does it say about God? God in heaven shall laugh, so we are told. He shall hold them in derision. That is, those rulers and those kings who think that they can do something in this world to upset the society. And then we are also told that God will eventually pour out His wrath upon them as well. Therefore, you and I, as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to trust in the Lord God, dear people. We need to place our lives in His hands. Because the outcome, whatever it might be, the outcome is, after all, in his hands. Secondly, what are the biblical instructions about our death? Well, you've heard something of that already. You and I need to be prepared to die. As morbid as it sounds, but you could be dead tomorrow. We need to be prepared to die. You know, I was reminded of that time and time again, especially living in the Niagara Peninsula when I was still a teenager, driving around in my little sports car. And there was a sharp bend in the road between Smithville and Grimsby. And right in that sharp bend, there was a sign. And it says, "Prepare to meet your Maker." And it always causes us, me at least, to shift down to second gear from fourth, to slow down. It is a rendition of what we read in Amos chapter 4, verse 12, "Prepare to meet your God." No doubt the sign was there in order to slow down all the drivers. But there have been some accidents there, and yes, that corner did bring on the death of some people there as well. But the instructions are clear, aren't they, dear people? We are to prepare. We are to prepare. We are to make how? How do we prepare? Well, we are to prepare to make peace with God in the first place. That is, we are to repent of any and all sins that we are aware of, and even the sins that we are not aware of. We are to repent of them. We are to ask God that He would show us who we are by nature. And definitely, even as Christians, we are not perfect yet. By no means. And so repentance is a fit way of preparing to die, making our peace with God. Believe today, because we could very well not be alive tomorrow. The third instruction has to do with morality. Now, I believe that the Bible gives us some very good words and examples in which we can be observant in keeping ourselves moral, biblically moral. Job, for instance, he tells us, now he was lying there on the ash pile and he was hurting terribly, but in Job 31 verse 1, he makes that confession. He has made a covenant with his eyes that he will not look upon a virgin. That is, he will not stare at a young woman. Men, remember this. Dear people, dear young people, maintain a high standard of morality in how you dress, in how you act, in how you talk, and don't ever let your smartphone lead you into the gutter. 4. What are the biblical instructions against boredom? Well, by the providence of God, He has given you a new pastor. That in itself should already raise or diminish all boredom, because no doubt, and I know you are excited about the servant whom the Lord has given you. And so there will be excitement in terms of Bible studies and catechism, confession of faith classes, and no doubt you know much about that. But you know, it doesn't take long to become bored with it all again and again. And so the Bible gives us some good instruction about that as well. Psalm 51, for instance, verse 12. It gives us words to pray. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And that is what we need. We need to be joyful in the Lord. We need to get rid of that boredom. We need to be joyful in the Lord. And so we pray the Lord for that as well. Pray for enthusiastic interest in the Word of God, and for a real desire to serve and to do what the Lord God wants us to do, and to worship Him, that this boredom may be laid aside. Therefore, pray against that danger of boredom. And, you know, for that matter, the Psalms and the Psalters also give us great help in this, because I could possibly ask you, can you sing earnestly from the heart, Psalter number 350? With joy, I heard my friends exclaim, come, let us in God's temple meet. Within thy gates, O Zion, bless, shall ever stand our willing feet. Oh, it might be nice to come to church now because you have your new pastor, but let it continue that way year after year after year, that you will continue to come with joy into the service of the Lord God. Well, now, let me get to the next letter, G, in the word dig. G stands for goals. And as you begin this new season, you should have some goals to achieve. And one of your goals in this new season should be, and I'm speaking very personal right now, should be overcoming a personal sin. And if I would ask, do you have a personal sin? I think all of you will say in yourself, yes, I do have a personal sin. Now, don't call it a weakness. Call it a sin and deal with it. Deal with it. Make that your goal also this season, that you deal with a personal sin that you've been struggling against for the last number of months or years or whatever it might be. Deal with it. And as I said, don't call it a character weakness, but call it sin. Perhaps it's the sin of lying, or the sin of greed, or the sin of lust, or the sin of anger explosions. Boys and girls, young people, you know about that, don't you? A fight with your brother or sister. It's not good. Not good. Deal with it. And deal with it in prayer. As soon as you feel like bugging your brother or your sister, or saying something that isn't right, say to yourself, I won't let myself go in that way. And you pray to the Lord, Lord, give me a healthy disposition also towards my brother or sister. So deal with explosions of anger. Well, whatever your character sin might be, make it your goal to overcome it by hating it, by fighting against it, by praying about it, and leaving it through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Another goal that you should have for this new season is to resolve, and that means to bring to a close, a long-standing conflict. Perhaps you have had, and you have a long-standing conflict between you and your brother or your sister, between you and someone in the congregation, perhaps. Well, make it your goal to resolve this conflict. Take the humble road, so to speak, and go to him or her and talk it out. Resolve that conflict. All you need to do is just read Matthew 5, verse 23 and following, what the Lord Jesus says about any sort of conflict, and do what he says. And I quote, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Resolve the conflict. Forgive. Be reconciled. And be at peace with one another. Dear people, it is so dangerous not to forgive your fellow man. Because we pray, don't we, with the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of others. And then God could very well say, if you don't forgive others, can you really plead God to forgive your sins? According to John Calvin, therefore, this is a prayer that we need to be very careful with. And therefore, be forgiving and forgive. Forgive and forgive. The third goal to achieve this new season is to read. Now, I know for some it is not easy to read. And you're busy with all kinds of activities. But make it your goal to read at least one book describing something of the character of God. Now, let me just give you some examples, and no doubt that book will be in the library here. J.I. Packer, Knowing God, or Sinclair Ferguson, The Holy Spirit, or Dr. David Murray's book, Jesus on Every Page. Chew on some of that spiritual meat that you will be getting as you read any of those books, and let your soul begin to delight in it. Or, for you who are computer savvy, short blogs from Dr. Murray, Head, Heart, Hand, or those blogs from Tim Challies. They too are very good reads, and sit down with reading that, or sit down with a good book as well, and exercise your mental stamina with it, dear people. And I don't think it is something that is useless or vain to say. It is important for us to read something about God. The fourth goal to achieve this new season is to win someone for Christ. Catechism season is soon beginning. Confession, faith classes, Bible studies. Bring a friend with you. Bring a friend with you. Some of you, no doubt, have done this in the past, and that's a good thing. But do it again. Make it your goal. Society meetings will soon be starting up. Adults, couples, seniors. Invite a neighbor to come along with you. Tell someone about Christ. Does our confession not tell us that as well? Lord's Day 32, that by our godly conversation, others may be gained for Christ. Your and my godly conversation, our conduct. Some of you may have heard of a former Muslim by the name of Nabil Qureshi. He's written a book. And he has written a book about how to evangelize Muslims. Well, read that book and go out with a friend. Go and speak with a co-worker or a neighbor and see how you can win him or her for Christ. I also recently listened to an interview of Nabil Qureshi on how he was actually converted to Christianity. And it's surprising, but it was a converted atheist who was on fire for Christ, who led Nabil Qureshi to Christ. And so the question can be asked, are you at all on fire for Christ, my friend? Let it be your goal this season to win someone for Christ. Well, that covers then those three letters of dig. Dangers facing us, instructions to follow, and goals to achieve. But now, I come to the most important part that has to do with that little word in, and it brings us close and into our text. Begin this new season by being in the Word. That is, by digging in the Word. Now, we have read a portion from God's Holy Word, Genesis 26, 17 through 33. And I have picked this text passage particularly to show how you and I are to be in the Word. Here we have an Old Testament passage, the story about Isaac and how his clan had lived in the land of the Philistines for a while, near the city of Gerar, so we are told. But there's been some trouble between Isaac's and Abimelech, that is, the king of Gerar. And so Isaac and his clan have left Gerar, and they have moved southward into the desert. On their way into the desert, Isaac's servants have been busy digging wells so that the flocks could drink. However, by at least two of those freshly dug wells, a fight broke out between the herdsmen of Abimelech and the herdsmen of Isaac. Isaac even named those wells accordingly. He named one well Esek, which means quarrel, and he named the other well Sitna, which means enmity or hatred. Finally, another well was dug, and no quarrel ensued, and Isaac called it Rehoboth, which means the Lord has made room for us. Isaac has been patient throughout this ordeal, and his patience has also paid off as well, because Abimelech pays him a visit and the two contract a friendly agreement, a peace agreement. Now this takes me then to my text words, verses 32 and 33, where Isaac's servants report that they have dug another well and that they have found water. And Isaac names this well Sheba, which has the double meaning of covenant and seven. And it is located near the present city of Beersheba, or well of seven, or well of covenant. Now, is this particular passage, this Old Testament story about digging, just about digging some wells in the desert, and you can say, well, that's interesting, but let's go on. Is this how we are, you and I are, to read the Old Testament? Just for some historical information? I dare say no. No. And here, Dr. David Murray of Grand Rapids has been a great help with his seminary lectures and also with the book that he's published. The seminary lectures deal with preaching Christ from the Old Testament and the book that he wrote, Jesus on Every Page. Some of you may have read that book already, Jesus on Every Page. And with those messages and with that book, he teaches us to be in the Word, also to be in the Old Testament Word. How and why? In order to find Christ in it, or to find something that points to Christ in it. Now here's a question for all of you, and please look at your Bible again, the passage we have read, particularly the verses 32 and 33. And I'm going to ask you a question. It's a bit of an exercise. Where can you find Christ in that passage? Where can you find something in that passage that points to Christ? I'm going to have a drink, and I'm going to have you look at that word for a moment. Have you found it? Now, I won't ask you to say it out loud, but I'll say it for you. We have found water. We have found water. Now, why would the servants of Isaac exclaim at that point, we have found water here at Beersheba? The other wells, they also produced water, didn't they? Why here in this text, the express exclamation, we have found water? Well, it is to point out to us, readers of the Word of God, something spiritually significant. These words, you see, point to Christ. They do. Read, for instance, what Christ says of himself in John 4 and verse 10. He is the source of living water, isn't he? Read John 7, verse 37 and 38. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Read Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. We have found water. Now, dear people, this means for us, we have found Christ. And dear people, this is why you have to be in that Word, why you have to dig into that very Word, you see. And therefore, you are called also this season, dig in, dig in. And so let us be, this new season, let us be much in that Word of God. Let us dig into that Word of God till we find the water of life, till we find Christ. Now, I must say at the same time, you will meet with opposition. The servants of Isaac also met with opposition. But it's not servants of Abimelech that will oppose you, but your own flesh will oppose you. Your flesh may resist and say, "Well, no, I'm too tired to dig into that word of God." Your work may resist it as well and say, "Well, man, you're far too busy to do all of that." Or your friends may resist it and say, "You know, we want you to spend more time with us." Nevertheless, keep digging into that word till you find Christ, till you find the water of life in it. And I may assure you that your efforts will not be disappointing. Isaiah the prophet, he saw the spiritual benefit already in his days. And you may take this as a promise, Isaiah 12 verse 3. "Therefore with joy you will draw waters from the wells of salvation." With joy. Well, a new season is about to begin. Dig in. Dig in, dear people. Dig in. And why should you dig in? Why? Well, till you find Christ, the water of life. And why do you need Him as your water of life? Because Christ is indispensable. Without Him as your water of life, you will die. You will die spiritually. And you will stay dead spiritually. Why did the servants of Isaac keep digging wells? Well, they needed water for themselves and for their flocks. If there was no water, it would spell death for them. And same for us. If there's no Christ, it would spell death for us. Spiritual death, eternal death. Therefore, dig into that word of God till you find Christ as the water of life and commit yourself then in faith to Him. As you know, Christ as your water of life, dear people, if you know Him as such, keep digging into that word as well to give you, as it were, fresh drafts of that water to keep you healthy, to keep you well refreshed, to keep you comforted, to keep you encouraged away from all boredom. Because you as a believer can lay claim to the confession and the testimony of Psalm 23, the verses 1, 2, and 3. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness' sake, for His name's sake." Well, I suggest that this is a good way to start a new season also here in Mitchell as well, with this sort of confession. So start this new season with renewed vigor and with fresh enthusiasm. And dear people, dig in. Dig in. Amen. Let us close in prayer of thanksgiving. O Lord God, as we have just been able to sing it, strengthen us for noble duty. Teach us as we enter a new season. Teach us to dig in and to dig in well, that we may find that in Jesus Christ we have everything that is necessary. And Lord Jesus, we thank You that You have set Yourself before us again as the water of life, as the one who can give us what is needed so that we may stay alive. Teach us therefore, O Lord God, to heed Your word. Bless us as we leave the sanctuary. Bless our fellowship together. Grant that we may travel home safely and back again, and may also this afternoon redound to Your glory and praise. In the forgiveness of our sins and trespasses, acknowledging that You are the one to whom we look for salvation, for forgiveness, for strengthening, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.